Peguei ele antes, beleza? Pode ir lá já. Não tem negócio de cerveja.
Olha, você, pouco no tempo, antes de vir.
Morning everyone. I'm Muhammad Ismathani and Chechil Mushavara is my name. Acting head of internal audit. DMV, thank you.
Thank you very much. I guess you have introduced yourself already. We only have two items on the agenda, honorable members. That will be a presentation of the first quarter community and performance report from the Department of Defense, and the presentation of the first quarter expenditure and performance report, Department of Military Veterans. I'm going to ask the presenters, as they present, you must bear in mind that the committee would not want the recitation. The committee would be very much interested in adherence to legislation and everything we do. The committee will also be interested in the effectiveness of your management systems so that you should be able to meet your objectives. And the committee will also be interested as to whether you met your objectives or targets as presented in the annual performance plan or in your strategic plan. And also the committee will be interested in knowing as to where you want the committee to intervene in order to make your work effective and efficient. So when you present, those areas should be areas of emphasis in this city. Then it will be over to the Department of Defense. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much, Jefferson. We'll try to stick to the guideline that you gave us. But before I start the presentation, I wish to convey an apology for the Secretary of Defense, who, because of our commitments, cannot be here. And at the same time, an apology for the CFO, as well as the Chief of Police and Land Department. And all of them could not make it here because of other commitments. Our apologies for that. We have therefore been sent over here to make this presentation. As indicated earlier, I'm accompanied by other members of the department. I'll do the presentation, and after which, therefore, we shall have a discussion if this is so required. The intention of this particular presentation, Jefferson, as indicated by yourself, is to provide an information brief about the quarter report of the Department of Defense for the first quarter, which is starting from the 1st of April 2013 to June 2013. The focus shall cover, therefore, it has indicated in the board. I will speak about the requirements of law that you are responding to, give the financial performance report, indicate how we're performing against our own selected performance indicators, touch on the MOA priorities, as well as give a summary of how we've performed against the target as they are set and contemplated in the ATP of the department. The law that you are responding to, Jefferson, in line with your guidelines, is that the PFMA, particularly Section 38 of the PFMA, actually calls upon the accounting officer, in our instance, the Secretary for Defense, to establish internal controls that would realize an effective management of the department in respect of finance, risk, and related matters. But equally at the same time, the regulations that are issued by Treasury, particularly Regulation 5, actually requires the Secretary for Defense to establish procedures that will enable him to report on performance by this department, and secondly, be able to monitor and evaluate the performance against the target set. And lastly, the framework Treasury that is given around these matters also says we must have a plan in place and report against such plan. So the report, therefore, that we are presenting today before Parliament, it has been prepared in line with these particular requirements as set out in law. In the area of financial performance, firstly, we are running a budget at the Defense Department of about 40.2 billion rand, which is what the Parliament voted for. What has been spent up to the end of the first quarter is 8.4 billion rand, and what therefore is basically available for between the end of the first quarter and the end of the financial year is 31.7 billion rand. And that in percentage term gives us a percentage of 21.05%. And that is how far we will spend by the end of the first quarter. We shall therefore give some final details of this so that it can be understood in context. This is a spread of the budget across the programs that Defense Department runs. We basically run about 8 programs. And the first column speaks to the programs that we run from administration right up to general support. The second column, therefore, which is that talks to vote. So that is an allocation per program. And thirdly, that is actually the expenditure that has been realized by the end of the first quarter. And the next column, therefore, is in percentage 10. In summary, Jefferson, what it basically says is that the bottom line here is that against the budget of 40.2 billion, we have spent 8.4 billion by the end of the first quarter, which basically amounts to 21% in percentage terms. And that is where we stand, and I think we are on course to actually realize a full expenditure by the end of the financial year. This is just a graph that represents whatever I have explained before this slide, so I will not spend time on that. But I wish the chairperson to basically explain why the behavior of the figures you saw in the slide before this one. So basically, by the 30th of June 2013, we spent 8.4 billion rand, which is about 21% as indicated, against the budget of 40.2 billion rand. And obviously, therefore, we have planned ourselves that we shall have a particular percentage spent, which is a 20.3. So we have actually spent more than our cash flow projection to the extent of 0.75%. We are happy about that, obviously, and we know that will put us in a good seat to actually spend our budget by the end of the year. But with respect to post-employment, because that is where these are the biggest cost drivers of the department, post-employment, I think, is simply one of the biggest cost drivers in the department. If you look at the figures, we spend more than what we projected, and the result of that, or the reason for that, is that we normally do advance payment to Air Defense. Air Defense, which is the airport, therefore does or supports the external deployment of forces. And obviously, you need to transfer money to them to be able to realize that particular objective. So that is why, therefore, you see basically an over expenditure in respect of employment. But secondly, in those figures, in our projection, we never had a projection for operations in Venezuela in respect of CAR, as well as the FIB, the Force Intervention Brigade, which is currently happening in the DRC. So if you take take those operations and add them up, and they therefore bring about the over expenditure that we have indicated. With regard to the air defense program, obviously in there we have seen some net expenditure. We are basically below the target that we have, and the reason there too is because obviously if a lot of money moved from force employment to the Air Force, it actually makes their budget to be much more, and therefore the expenditure happens throughout the year. But secondly, there's already some outstanding invoices that Arms Corps was finalizing by the end of the first quarter. So the two factors explain the reason of the expenditure cutting in respect of the Air Force. The maritime defense, I think they will spend more than the cash flow projection, and that is because there was a transfer payment that we normally do to the Arms Corps dockyard here in Cape Town. So the transfer of that actually brings about a spike in performance. And the last one being the general support program. The higher expenditure there is largely due to Arms Corps gets its budget from Defense Department. So the transfer payments to Arms Corps is done through this particular program. And therefore, if you move this amount of money to Arms Corps, it brings about a spike in performance. In financial terms, the budget is classified according to what they call economic classification. And that is what the 40.2 billion range is classified as. There's compensation of employees, where we have put about 20.8 billion rand. Goods and services, 11.3 billion rand. Transfer and subsidies, 7.3 billion. Payments for capital assets, 280 million. And payments for financial assets. So that's how the budget is actually classified economically in terms of the rules of finance set out by Treasury. So therefore, what you put as the third column to that is how we have spent our money against such classification. And we are cumulatively spent at 21% as we should. And again, this is a graph just portraying that differently. But what we need to explain here, which is critical, because you know therefore that the biggest cost driver in the department is compensation of employees. The Defense Department runs a human resource budget that is very huge because of the numbers that we have. And we overspend it for the quarter with respect to payment of our compensation of employees because the projection of salary increases by ourselves was less than what was actually the salary increase. We had put aside a budget that accommodates an increase of salary by 5.7%. However, when the salary increase was confirmed by CPSA and Treasury, it came in about 6%. So that therefore explains the difference between the projection as well as the actual expenditure. In the area of goods and services, we also, as a result of the air defense program, therefore we are underspending there. And however, therefore the invoices were therefore being finalized by the end of the first quarter. Transfer of transfers and subsidies in that area, again we had an over expenditure, which can be therefore be explained against the transfer to Arms Corps, which was therefore planned for July, but it happened in the first quarter. The payment of capital assets. Basically, what lies behind this is that there were certain rollovers that we had in this area from the last financial year. When the new year started, we had to make good of those rollovers, and as a consequence of that, therefore there was an over expenditure. Those are basically, I think, in the area of post-employment, we had invoices for transport systems, for transport equipment, as well as a purification, water purification equipment, which was bought in the last financial year. However, was only paid in this new financial year, and that therefore explains the over expenditure in that area. In the area of financial assets and liabilities, again, there was an over expenditure because of debtors amounts, forex, as well as thefts and losses that were quarter. And in the area of the general aspect, therefore, is that the actual expenditure, insofar as we're concerned, is actually exceeding our projection, as indicated. But I'll try to explain the why that is the case. The chair, in the eight P's of the department, there is what is called the selected performance indicators. And these are indicators that are actually contained in the ENE, the estimate of national expenditure, as published by National Treasury. And for Defense Department, these are the indicators that are contained there. And we are therefore indicating our performance against those particular indicators. The first one is basically the compliance with Strategic Standby Force Agreement and the pledge that we make against that. And we say we have therefore realized the target there. We have planned 100% for the first quarter, and we have realized that. Because all the pledges and commitments that we've made have been achieved, and we achieved that success. However, with respect to the second one, which is coming out, it's supposed to be amber. That color is amber. Maybe the projector is not giving us the color. But in terms of the annual target, we have a projection of we have got 40 offices across the world where defense attachés are offices. However, we've got 36 defense attachés deployed. There are four offices in Egypt, in Germany, Mozambique, and Tanzania. Where the previous attachés, their term came to an end, and they need to be replaced by new ones. And the minister is currently in the process of approving those particular names so that they can be deployed over there. So basically, there are 36 offices that are running. Against the target of 40, and the explanation of the difference, therefore, is the approval that we are still awaiting with respect to that. The other one is about percentage compliance with the number of order commitments in terms of external deployment. We have planned to have, for the year, six operations running. However, the one that is painted in black color, that is supposed to be red, 3.4, operations in Brazil. That was cancelled, as you know. It was cancelled, it was in CAR, so therefore the withdrawal of the forces in CAR therefore meant the cancellation of operation. And therefore in the plan of six operations, we only had achieved five because of the operation in Brazil, as you would know. But all others are in order. Criteria number four seeks to percentage compliance with the number of commitments in respect of internal deployment. All deployments there have been achieved. We had four running, and we achieved all four, 100% in terms of that. But criteria number five therefore seeks to the number of planes of joint exercises, interdepartmental and multinational. We have planned to have nine. That is for the year. However, for the first quarter, we had one that we sought to see realized, and that is operation or exercise Bellboy, which is run by the Navy. Because of issues of capacity around that particular exercise did not proceed, and as a result of that, therefore, we did not achieve that particular exercise plan for the first quarter. But with respect to the number of reserves, we are on target. However, what I need to explain, therefore, is still number nine. It speaks to the number of post employment hours flown per year. The hours are split between two aspects. One is VIP operation, and the second one is joint force. That is for our joint force employment truck, as it were. And we had 6,300 for the year. But for the first quarter, we flew 889. We have put that in number. And the reason that we is that there is a possibility that by the end of the year, we will not be able to fly 6,300 hours with respect to that. We are saying there is a possibility of that happening. It's not yet realized, but we are saying, judging by the current number of hours against what is left in the year, there is a possibility of performing like below the 6,300 hours. equally. That holds for the numbers of our deceit. We have planned here for the year 22,000. For the quarter which we are reporting on, it's 2,088. And obviously, if you look at the balance between the two, it's close to 19,000 something. And we say there's a possibility that we may not be able to exhaust the 22,000 hours of spent. And I think that helps us, though, to actually put a different target for the subsequent years, because we know that the operations run in this particular way, and in the future, then we shall ensure that we come as close as possible to what shall be realized. In the area of MOD priorities, these are priorities that the minister has set for the department, and therefore we put indicators to ensure that we check the defense department's performance against those particular targets. In the area of maritime security, which is compliance with other commitments in respect of the Mozambique Channel anti-piracy operation, all of it, we are on course on that one. We have achieved 100%, and the Navy remains on sea with regards to maritime security. We are happy about that. With respect to National Youth Service, we have recruited 974 for the year, which is 49%, against the target of 2,000. But until the year is up, we shall realize the 2,000 numbers as we put over there. There is an intake that is planned for January next year. And that January intake will therefore make us to realize that 2,000 target as indicated over there. The revitalization of reserves, the numbers that we have planned to be called up against the actual call-up, we are on course and we hope we shall exhaust the projection for the year. The web capability, it comes in a different color on the slide as opposed to what you see on the board. It should be amber. The web capability we have is an internal capacity to attend to matters of facilities repair maintenance. We want to have that in-house. However, we need numbers to attend to that. And therefore, the numbers that we have a target of 70 people, but we have recruited 54 for the quarter. And we hope, therefore, that the balance or the difference between 54 and 70 shall also be realized very soon. There are currently staffing processes underway, which will make us to come to 70. In the second quarter, as we'll be having to report to Parliament, we shall have those numbers getting even. Chair, as you would know, that there are two legs to the department, and the Defense Secretariat as well as the FBI here. But I wish therefore to start with the Defense Secretariat. I won't spend time on that because I think we know what are the sub-programs under the Defense Secretariat. Just to make the point that the Defense Secretary obviously operates under the Defense Administration Program. Under that, therefore, there is the Defense Secretary, which is called sub program, just indicated over there, from departmental direction right up to legal services. What I shall therefore do in the subsequent slides is to indicate how they performed against their targets for the year, or for the term, or for the quarter under it. This chair we take from Treasury. Treasury wants us to use a particular color coding. And that color coding makes it easy for us to realize where it is red, it means there is a problem. There is a high risk of that indicator not being realized. Where it is amber, it's basically that, look, it can still be realized. However, some intervention may be required. But where it is green, I think we are everything is well. So the Defense Secretary, therefore, if you look against their target, we have 72% achieved, and the green, the red ones are 25%, and the amber is 3%. But this, therefore, would explain that those percentages split according to the various sub-programs. There is quite a number just to make a general statement. And I think the Defense Secretariat, I think the message that I carry from the department to the portfolio committee is that the Defense Secretariat, over the quarter under review, we have substantially achieved our targets in respect of finance, in respect of policy, in respect of acquisition, in respect of legal, in respect of HR. think the department is meeting its mandate as contemplated in legislation as well as in the constitution. However, what we have therefore is a split according to the various areas of how we perform. But just to summarize, I think in the area of Office of the Medical Ombuds, the establishment of the office and the functionality thereto has been realized, and our view is that the office is beginning to operate at the present moment, is beginning to take up cases and beginning to attend to them. And therefore that goes green. In the area of backup and information of GITO, all the targets there are green. All what is required in respect of the ICT governance has been done as the target. In the area of defense policy strategy and plan, obviously the tabling of our plans, tabling of our quarterly reports, which is our core mandate, has been done, and I think our Parliament can testify to that. However, where I wish to draw the committee's attention to is around pillar number 7, which is about the establishment of the social responsibility. That the movement in that area has not been adequate. And the reason there too is that the defense review process currently unfolding within Defense Department will have fundamental implications for the department. And some of our activities that we wish to take would have been basically slowed down to allow the defense review to come through, after which therefore some of the structures can begin to come out. So we are wary of creating structures, which structures can be rendered questionable when the defense review does come out. And I think the defense review capability is caught in that particular space. In the area of coordinated defense engagement in clusters, we continue to be present in clusters and providing the necessary support to the minister and the DG. So the cluster aspect is managed. The issue of our DOD performance, the MPET assessment level, we've played the level of 3 as defense departments. And I think members of parliament would have known that there's an MPET process run by DPME, which places certain levels of assessment, and level 3 is adequate, we are compliant, but level 4 therefore is the ultimate. We have placed the level 3 in our instance. However, the results of the previous year therefore gave us a 2.2. However, for this year, we hope by the end of the year we shall be reporting a performance that reaches the level 3, because I think that is the target, and we are working hard to ensure that we realize that. In the area of financial services, all that is required to be done in respect of fiscal framework status, the number of audit qualifications and related measures, I think we are in order. And I think the way that we manage our budget and the percentage that we have achieved for the quarter bears testimony to that. That in the area of finance, we are on course in terms of our targets. In the area of acquisition, which is the defense material acquisition, capital acquisition, with respect to the strategy on defense industry, we again, that is caught in the defense review process, because the defense review shall therefore guide that, firstly, but secondly, there is a council established by the minister, which is chaired by the deputy minister, which is the defense industry council. And the defense industry council is established as well, and that shall therefore oversee the realization or the promulgation of the strategy on defense industry. And I think that the minister is on course to that. Student number 14, I need to explain that. It talks to the percentage of budget allocation for renewal of DOD medical. All that it means put differently is that is the percentage of money that we wish to see allocated for the acquisition of military equipment. In terms of the defense review of 1998, it sets up a ratio, and the ratio is 40-30-30, meaning 40 for compensation to employees, 30 for operating budget, 30 for capital renewal. We have placed this target at the time, hoping that the allocation of money for capital acquisition the last number of years, we've already seen that it's not 30% of defense budget. It's less than that. At the present moment, we spend the 10% of the defense budget. And if you have to put a target therefore against that, it means it goes right automatically because you are below the 30%. What you are doing moving forward, so you find therefore that in the APP for next year, we are starting to put a different target there, because I think we understand that the function of allocating money is not a function that you control as defense department. It's a function that is run by initial treasury. So if we measure ourselves against that which treasury does, it can be inappropriate. So we want to put a target that is or any indicator that is appropriate, but we shall therefore do that accordingly. But in terms of the acquisition itself, I think we're on course to acquire those particular items that we wish to acquire for the year. In the area of, the area of defense intangible assets, the policy there is in order. Equally, the budget allocation for technology is also in order, the money that is allocated. And I think the difference between the two is that here we are talking about an allocation of 10% of the armament acquisition budget, not 10% of the DOD budget, and that's the difference. So the allocation date is in order, it's 10% of the acquisition budget. So that is in order, and I think the approaches of technology in this area are appropriate. Defense supply chain, the white paper on defense industry and has been done and it will be made part of the defense review document. In the area of international affairs, it goes red. In terms of performance, and the reason there too is that the strategy that we put as a target, the status of that particular, I think it's something that we want to review, because the strategy should come after policy. In terms of order, there's policy, there's strategy, there's implementation and monitoring. However, to put a strategy there without the policy driving it, therefore create a particular challenge. There is work underway to finalize the policy after which strategy therefore shall follow. And the monitoring and all that comes with it shall follow suit. All other targets under international affairs therefore are in order, yeah? Under human resource, the targets pertaining to the skills audit is in order. That which we have planned has been realized. However, with regard to the percentage of disciplinary cases finalized within 90 days, we have a target of 80%, but we have achieved 66%. And the reason there too is that now is the time when we started to project. We hope we shall finish 80%. But in reality, is that cases present different dynamics. Some cases are much more complicated, require different interventions, and some of them, then, as a result of that, cannot be completed within the system. That explains why they put a percentage of against 80%. In the area of student number 23, particularly, that talks about performance agreements, we have a target of 25% of our performance agreements submitted to GPSA, but we have achieved 68%. And the reason for that is to explain. In defense department, there are some SMS members who are down there, they are on the payroll of defense department, but they are deployed. Some are deployed outside the country. Some are deployed to other organizations like UN, SADC, and others. Some are deployed or have been transferred to other departments, the temporary base, dependent, as it were. Now, the performance agreement with all of those individuals does not stand with the Department of Defense. It stands with those agencies to which they've been seconded or they've been transferred for a moment. So that explains the whole difference. But if you were to take that into account, you find that the percentage will be met evenly. However, the difference is because of the nature of deployment and transfer of people to various agencies. To continue in the HR area, the issue of support to the Defense Service Commission status, I think the impact of that is beginning to be realized, and we're happy with that. And we have met the target. So does our performance against the HR strategy and plan. And equally, in the area of armed forces policy framework, I think it comes out red over there. We're hoping that by the end of the quarter, we'll be monitoring the implementation of this particular policy. But that policy, I think the movement, the draft is on the table. it has been workshopped, it has been, but it is still being taken through the approval structures of Defense Department. So we have not been able to implement it in the first quarter. You will find that in the second quarter or the third quarter, that may begin to happen. The retention strategy, which is 28, again, there is a monitor implementation. We're hoping to have our implementation there being monitored. What Defense Department does, we don't intend, I think moving forward, we shall adjust that target. Because there's an HR strategy, and we want to believe that the retention strategy should not be anything different from that. It should be a subset of that. It shouldn't be a standalone asset. Because as part of the HR strategy, you've got retention, you've got recruitment, you've got all of that. So that work of refining the strategy to ensure that retention is properly captured is currently underway, but we shall project this better in the subsequent years. The under HR, maybe the last point that will be or rather not the last point, but the one about financial disclosure. We have disclosed all that we are supposed to do. We have performed against the target. Basically, we have a target of 75, but we have disclosed that at 85%. So we are in order in terms of target there. But collective grievance, we are not meeting our targets. We are 80%, we are 50%, or 30% below 80%, which means that we are said there's a deviation of 30% between the two. And the reason there too is that, again, cases present different dynamics. They are different dynamic, and most often than not, they require different intervention and attention. And that, therefore, makes us not to meet that. In the SANDF, these are the programs that the SANDF runs, as you know. Of course, employment, landward defense, maritime, military health support, defense, intelligence, gender support. The summary of the performance of the SANDF is as indicated. In the green is a 48% spread across the SANDF, and the red, therefore, is 52. I think at first value may never say that the performance is actually less than required, but we want to argue differently. Because when something goes red, it doesn't go red because there's been zero performance against the target. If you set a target of 70%, if you have performed 69% of your work, you are short 1%. In terms of this color coding, you have to go red. But there has been performance, there has been expenditure of money, and therefore it should not be construed, potentially meaning nothing has happened against those particular times. So the red, therefore, should be understood in that particular context. The first one is about regional security. It's about compliance with a number of other commitments. We've explained that we had a particular target that was set. We have met that. I think the first one is a percentage compliance with number of other external operations. We have met that which we are supposed to go to meet, except for operations in Venezuela, which is coming. And I think we have to restate that point. With regards to support to the people, the number of landward subunits deployed on border safeguarding, there we are on target. We've met our targets. We are keeping the borders of the country secure in the areas where the SANDF is deployed, and we're happy about that. And percentage compliance with the number of authorized safety and security support for the commitment, we are also on target with regard to that. So we are with respect to disaster aid and disaster relief as ordered by government. The search and rescue, also we've met our targets as well. In the area of defense capability management, and that is where we have a risk. That talks to the joint exercises, and I've said before that we plan to have exercise Bellboy running in the first quarter. It was cancelled because of under capacity, but that was an exercise that was going to be enable cooperation and guidance for shipping on that exercise. So that did not happen. Therefore, that explains the difference between the targets as well as the actual performance. With regards to Chair, the issue of gender training capability, we were aiming there to have a particular number of soldiers going for formal training, but that number did not realize. And the reason that is that we planned to have 2,300 for the quota. However, we achieved a lesser number. And the reason that I think Parliament should be aware of that is that the budget cut in Defence Department, particularly in recent past, and for the bearing on this, because we had to revise the targets, we had to ensure that some of the work that we had planned to do should be slowed down because there isn't sufficient budget to do that. The issue of compliance with formal training targets number of learners in that area. Today we are in order and we've met our target is set. This one here, we passed for 2 maritime human resource under the maritime defense. It goes red under training because of the same reason. Budget cut, cancellation of intake of MSDN, and as a result, therefore, your numbers are not met. The under health support capability, we have met our targets there with regards to care activities per year. Equally, we have met our target with regards to percentage of availability of medical stock at all times, as it were. So the stock that are required at any given point in time were for the first quarter available at all times. Compliance with formal training and targets under health, that one is important, and we've met our targets there. And we've met our targets equally with regards to the defense intelligence. As you would know, there's a number of defense intelligence products that were required and planned. We have achieved those. And equally, the vetting decisions that we drew for the court and set, and those have been attended to according to the target. In the area of joint logistics and services, the tab or the indicator that is going red, Chair, is about the quantification of items of supply. I think we have a duty to ensure that our assets are properly qualified. We had a target there of 20. However, we achieved a 19.07. And the reason there too is that quantification happens because of National Quantification Bureau that sets the standards here, and there's numbers of people allocated to it. And there hasn't been sufficient numbers of people, therefore, in that bureau for the quarter. As a consequence, therefore, of that, the percentage performance has been just below the 20 that we set for the quarter. Disposal of material, which is actually the disposal of items that are military equipment, we had planned. We had a target of 18 sets over there. But we did not perform against that correctly. And the reason there too is that you need to put structures to ensure that the alienation of defense equipment is done in a manner that complies with government. And in the period under review, therefore, some of the structures like the alienation committee, was being set up and reinforced. And as a result of that, therefore, it did not operate optimally for the quarter, hence the figures that you see over there. Appropriate and ready sustained facilities, that's in the area of defense joint logistics services. Item number 4 there, filler number 4, talks to percentage of expenditure in accordance with our facilities plan. That we have performed less than what we had planned. And the reason that we are putting there before is that the Defense Department is moving from the manual system to IT-based systems of managing them. And in the term that we are reporting on, the quarter that we are reporting on, that work actually happens to ensure that the item codes that we use are validated and they are properly performed again. And as a consequence of that intervention to improve that particular area of logistics, Therefore, performance did not meet the target as set. But we hope that as the year progresses, there could be some intervention made to ensure that between the quarters that are left, some of the work that was due is actually realized. Payment of accommodation. This is about the payment of our places. We are performing less there. And that is because invoices from the people who are from whom we are leasing these properties are not submitted in good time. And as a result of that, you can't effect payment because the invoice needs to go through a process of verification after it has been submitted in good time. And equally, the last one there is about payment of accommodation where, therefore, public works is involved. And again, there is a slow progress of invoices being sent to our staff by public works department, and therefore our targets are affected by that. The other one, Chairperson, I'm getting close to the end, is about basic training. The numbers that we set for the quota could not be realized, and the numbers of people that we could take for training purposes were not adequate to meet the target. And it's because of many reasons, including the issues of accommodation, issues of money, as indicated earlier, and related matters. So our target, therefore, with regards to training of logisticians is affected. Procurement of services and payment within 60 days. I think that is a target that government is seeking to achieve. We know it's 30%, it's 30 days. However, we know that there's also, given the slowness in invoicing, in verification, and incompleteness of invoices, that can take us beyond those periods. And we're saying, therefore, the procurement centers that are very key in this project, some of them are not fully staffed, and there's a process underway to ensure that we get the numbers of people in those centers so that these targets can be realized. In the area of CMIS, which is IT technology, chair one that is going red in terms of our assessment is the first one that talks to the support of our portfolios of IT by citizens. I think for the quarter that we're reporting on, the support that we require from citizens to ensure that we are supported in terms of Windows 7, Microsoft Office, and all the requests for proposals, that is not realized. But we know that in the second quarter, as we shall be reporting in the future, we that situation improved a lot. But because we are reporting for the first quarter, there was a situation at the time we did not meet our targets. The military police, there are cases that have been finalized. There's a number that we have set today, which is 10% as well as 62 with regards to deliberate crime intervention operations. Both indicators have been affected by largely the deployment of our military police. The number of external operations demands that you take your best investigators to this operation to ensure that everything goes well. And as a consequence of that, your domestic target get affected as a consequence of that. So this is therefore a result of the operation that Defense Department does, particularly in the outside of South Africa, where many of the military police are basically deployed. And therefore the targets are not met. Chairperson, that brings to the end of the presentation. Thank you so much for
Thank you very much. Now give the honorable members an opportunity to interact with the presentation. Honorable Menya.
Thank you, Chair. I have a number of questions. I'll try and go through slide to slide. Can I begin on slide 7? I wonder if slide 7, serial 4, which is the quarterly expenditure by on the air defense program. We would expect the quarterly expenditure on the air defense program to be roughly 25% at the end of quarter, but we see that it's 15.1%. Now, in the public mind, the air defense program is underfunded. What this suggests is that the funding, that the Air Force are not able to spend the funding that has been available to them, and that, in fact, the Air Force are overfunded. I wonder if you could explain why there was significant underspending on the air defense program, given that we read in the newspapers that, for example, the Gripen program is underfunded and that the Augusta light utility helicopter program is underfunded. That's the first question. The second question, if you bear with me, relates to defense policy. I think you correctly said that the defense review is critical. I'm wondering if you could explain why, unless I've missed it, the defense review is not part of the defense policy strategy and planning targets, and where exactly are we with the defense review? Because it strikes me that if the defense review was under the defense policy strategy and planning item, it would be in red. I'm very concerned about the defense review because, as I've said in the past, if the defense review does not succeed, the defense force is not going to succeed. I wondered then on slide 26 if you could just explain or provide further particulars on the defense fiscal framework space. I'm not quite sure what that refers to. Then on slide 27, critically, where we where you refer to acquisition services, during the period under review, the Department of Defense signed the and approved the final acquisition plan for Project Mufasa. Now, what is the total cost of Project Mufasa? What is the cost per year on the MTF, and what is the unit cost per vehicle? Then under acquisition, Project Vagrant, that project has now been delayed, I think, for more than 24 months and is now at ministerial level. Why is that? Why has Project Vagrant been delayed, and why was the department not able to resolve this problem, resulting in it being escalated to ministerial level for resolution? Then on slide 31, the Defence Force Service Commission. Who is the current head of the Defence Force Service Commission, and what are the names of the members serving on the Defence Force Service Commission? I have, if you bear with me, one more question. Under slide 44, where we're dealing with the SANDF logistics services, you'll be aware that there's been a public controversy concerning the awarding of a tender for commercial transport aircraft services. Has the department launched an official inquiry into that matter? Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. Let me have a question from Honourable Nicholas. Honourable Mangin.
Yeah, that's a very simple one. That is, can you first know? I was saying very simple one from the chairperson just to start with. But what did you say? CMIS stands for? CMIS. It's like 46, 45. What does it stand for?
What is it?
Command.
Command and
management.
Okay.
find 50 external beacons and into the DRC side. The other one is, also noticed is a complaint about the budget cuts and the number of recruits being taken in for training, whereas we see the reflection on the MSDS, where they've exceeded the actual targets. So I'm not sure how the budget cut is balanced when the MSDS is oversubscribed to the target that has been set. 5,047 over 4,200. The other one is, of course, the front hours, which is pitched at 6,300 for the year, and C hours at 22,000. Is this the international benchmark, or is this basically an expedient arrangement in terms of budgetary constraints that have been faced by the department? Are we maintaining the readiness and capability of the maritime and also of the air force? The other one is the works capability. There's also been no performance really. We just like to know, I see there's approved post 2005-51 and we're looking at 1,369. So the 54-70 arrangement, I think we were pushing very hard to have this works capability introduced as soon as possible because of the complications of DPW and the work and maintenance and issues not being done timeously, and I find that this has been unduly delayed. The other one is, of course, the performance indicators. I think it's good to say that the glasses are full and not half empty, but it's 48% to 52%, and we appreciate that certain of those targets were just not met. It was maybe 70%, 80%, 90%, and therefore they went into red and not green. So we understand that arrangement, but there were certain targets that actually achieved nothing yet, which is indicated as a zero on certain areas. If we just check the classification, the economic classification, and the payments, then we'll see there's no transfer, no movement on certain ones. The adverse audit findings, I think that there's an indication that there is no adverse audit findings. And we have a concern because we know that the department has received a waiver in particular regarding the tangible assets, and that waiver has come to an end, and of course it means that the department will be again qualified because they have not concluded the asset registers and requirements as per the AG's findings. So we maybe just get an update on that particular issue of that critical finding and what measures have been put in place to overcome it and what time frames are there. The issue then of the amended targets, I think that's reasonable, that next year we should put targets that are realistic and not ones that cannot be budgeted for and actually be included. And I find that stranger that was included in the first place. The issue of performance agreements, I find that highly unacceptable. If people are seconded or deployed, they are put up against a post wherever they're going to, which means that particular department where they're employed are funding them. Normally that is what we call secondment. If we say we are deploying people only and not seconding people, that means that we take full responsibility for those people. And performance agreements are signed at the beginning of a financial year. And therefore there is no reasonable excuse today, because there are so many generic ones and so many posts that have already been established with different types of performance agreements, and I don't think it could be that difficult to put a performance agreement together. So 68% is unacceptable for SMS, that must be 100%. The other one is the retention strategy versus the incorporation to HRS. Maybe there are certain measures that are taken at certain times, and therefore one may not want to include it as part of the HRD or HRS, and rather have it as a separate document where incentives are created because of the circumstances that's being faced by the department, and it's not a permanent feature of the HR strategy. So I'm not sure if that, but the intention is quite clear, there must be some retention, whether it's inside the document or outside the document. It can become an annexure which can always be removed on appendix. What strategies are being proposed and why has that been delayed? And we know the challenges of vacancies, critical posts that have not been filled, particularly in the technical area, aircrew area, and we know the engineering area. What has happened? What is taking place? What measures are being put in place to overcome those critical areas? And also in the light of AMG's contract being terminated, and of course there's a budget for the phasing out and the transfer of skills. What is the progress in that regard? The grievances, I think there's a policy in place, and we'd like to know possibly what are the challenges in that area that we only have a 50% performance, and there are serious complaints of soldiers out there that their matters are not being dealt with, it's been delayed for years and not for months, and of course we expect that the department employ the capable people to be able to manage those things. We understand that things are not once off that you have a meeting and resolve a grievance. It may take a few meetings, but with highly competent people, we're able to do that in a shorter period of time. I think that's the third sound, Jeff, before I start with the other question. Thank you very much.
Any other questions?
Maybe if I allow the department to respond, I will come in the
Deliberate.
Somebody has got to be charged.
Yeah. But nobody sitting there.
Well, thanks for the opportunity, and thanks to the department for the presentation. So I've made one or two points. Without sounding negative, but I would want to list issues where the department feels they will not meet their KPIs. And one instance will be the flying hours. You are almost confident that you will not be able to meet the target you set for yourself. Now my question in relation to that, what impact do you think will that have in the quality of pilots that we produce at the end of the day? But secondly, what impact do you think will that have in the general operations and the status of our Air Force? The second one, Chairperson, is that in page slide 22 of your presentation, wherein you had red, amber, and green. Without really downplaying the good work that the department has done so far, but to some extent I, and not underestimating your efforts, to some extent I went to each and every flight, I somewhat think that those that are at green were really low-hanging fruit. You have those that are in the red, which to me are really hard nuts to crack, and you guys should have done better. The first one will be point 7, for instance, establishment of the Department of Defense Policy Research Capacity. To me, that's no if or but. It's something that the department has got to go an extra mile in trying to achieve. And the list is long, Chairperson. I don't want to waste your time. There are about 5, 6, 7, 8 of them. And as I said, I think these are the hard nuts to crack, which the department should have done better. Now the last one, saying that you will not be able to meet some of your own targets that you set for yourself. Are you expecting a performance bonus? That's all. If we have, how much? That is not my
I'm happy to read it to you if you like. The acquisition plan of the new generation infantry combat vehicle was approved on the 13th of February. The fine, the related financial authority was subsequently approved on the 26th of June. Project is now in place and execution now falls to Arms Corps. There it is in the Secretary of Defense's report. Please answer the question.
How do you explain that? The absence of that in the report?
Well, Chairman, I think in my statement, there are two parts to it. I have said some of the matters that could be in the report are very sensitive, and therefore they require a particular approach, which I have indicated. But the second part of it, much as the information that is indicated is generic information, and I think I would therefore be bothering on disclosing information in an appropriate forum if I were to get down to the final details of that. We have that detail. However, we think that it's not to be discussed with you.
Can we leave it at that for a moment? Can you answer those which you can answer now?
Chair, just on another point of order, I know you want to move on. I'm not asking for the finer details. I'm asking for the total cost, the budgeted cost of the MTF, and the unit cost per vehicle. That is not the finer detail. And that information legitimately should be disclosed to Parliament and to the public. And I promise you, I will get that information and I will make it public. You will not withhold that information from Parliament. I will make it public.
Honorable, you should not hold the court to set the ransom. Honorable Minya, if you cannot answer it now, that's what I'm saying, you can answer it later. And if you have any objection, Honorable Mania, your objection will be noted.
Thank you. I appreciate you noting my objection. What is happening here is unconstitutional.
Go on.
Mr. Chair, therefore, to move off that issue, just come to the issue of defense policy, which Honorable Mania has raised. What is the status of the defense review where is it reported? Chair, as you know, that the minister last year, appointed a commission that is headed up by former minister Rolf Meyer to undertake this task. And it's a task that Mr. the head of that particular committee therefore reports to the minister directly. And therefore you will see that there's no reference to it. But our understanding of the status of that close to the present moment is that it is currently being deliberated between the commission or between the committee and cabinet. It's through consultation phase, and we are therefore hoping that once cabinet finalizes its views on the matter, it shall therefore be introduced to parliament. But that is where it is at the present moment. But it's a matter that I cannot report confidently about because it's a matter that is directly between the minister and the head of that particular committee. I would defer some questions to members of my delegation. One of it, those questions related to HR, General Vivet, would hand you those at the time when I would indicate he's got all of them pertaining to retention, MSDS, the matters about performance agreements and related matters. So he would deal with that. But whilst he's getting himself ready for that, Mr. Engelbrecht, who is from finance, will therefore deal with matters related to the air defense performance as well as the allocation of budget in it. And as well as questions that are related to finance as raised over here. General Ramaswamy, who's sitting next to me, will deal with the questions around the hours, whether the hours, as asked, whether the hours that we spend as Defense Department or the hours that we set as targets are benchmarked against other armed forces, and what therefore happens if we don't achieve them as a consequence of the reduction in budget and as well as related matters. The question that I was, whilst I'm moving around, but we'll ensure that all the questions are asked, But I would I therefore wish to answer the question that Honorable Nana has raised. Two points. One of it is whether the target, that which has been achieved, has been low hanging fruit, and that there are hard nuts to crack, which go red. And much as we understand that, but we think that there is work that has been done in those red areas, as I indicated. It's not that nothing has been done. Something has been done. It's just that the work done in that area does not meet the target fully, and that is why it goes red. It shouldn't be construed as if nothing is being done in those areas. But even in the areas where there's indication that probably these are low-hanging fruit, they are not necessarily that, and there's a whole lot of work that was done with regards to realizing the green tunnel, and we want to underscore that. But on the issue of what happens when these targets are not met, what happens? And obviously, if it doesn't happen, there are reasons why it should happen. There are reasons that are within our control, and those outside our control. As an example, if there's a cancellation of an operation in operation in the Zeta, as an example, that is a decision taken outside of the Defense Department, and therefore the Defense Department will have to execute the decision given by the higher authority. And I doubt if the department would be held to account for that. However, those where there are areas where our own officials did not do their best, obviously, there is a way of HR of dealing with that. And obviously, the whole issue of performance incentive doesn't accrue if performance has not been satisfactory. I think it's a general principle in HR that we got here to have this defense department. General Tibet, if you can respond to the questions of HR.
Honourable Chair, Honourable Members, the first question related to slide number 17, which speaks to the number of MSDS recruits in the system and why is there an overachievement. Chair, the target set is 4,208 MSDS members in the system as at the end of the financial year, which is 31 March 2014. But currently in the system, remember it's a two-year system, so members that started 2 years ago when we had higher intakes are still in the system, so currently the target is 5,047. But remember there's members that will go out in December of this year, and there will be a smaller intake due to budget constraints on the HR budget, a smaller intake in January next year, 14, which will then bring us to the target of 4,208. So there will be a reduction due to the reduced intakes and 8 outflow in December of the higher intake. So I'm quite confident that we are on course with that objective of 4,208. Chairperson, the second question was about performance agreements and what is the department doing about the performance agreements. There is a lot of interactions currently in place, and the targets indicate might be low, but the current situation is at 89.4%, which is a substantial increase of performance targets, performance agreements were signed and submitted. The whole issue of secondment versus deployment, people who are deployed must still conclude an agreement with the Department of Defense. However, people that are seconded to other departments, of which can be UN structures, DERCO to be an example, they conclude those agreements with those departments. We want to change the business rule, how to measure this in future. Currently, the business rule indicates that regardless if the members are seconded, still be accounted for in the Department of Defense, and therefore we want 100%. We want to change the business rules in future that only those members that is really on your strength, excluding the seconded people, will be accounted at the place where they serve because they're responsible towards that. And that will then have a different percentage. But currently it's 89.4%, and we're very close to achieve the 100% mark. Chairperson, on the whole issue of retention, this committee was fully briefed about a month ago on the whole issue of retention. And I want to focus honorable members' attention to the annual report of the department of the past financial year. In table 4.8 on page 180, we indicated on the vacancy rates per occupation as well as the turnover tendencies on table 4.14 on page 120. Now, if we look at the turnover tendency currently, it's in the department far beyond below 5%. For instance, the technical environment that the honorable member referred to, and there was also at that same meeting a full briefing on the transfer of skills with the AMG contract and what is being done there, was 1.5%. Now, Chair, that does not mean we must not have a retention strategy. All that we say, we have a number of strategies in place, starting with our overarching HR strategy that guide retention matters in the department, including the implementation of occupation-specific dispensation to curb the skills or the loss rate of skills. All that we say, Chair, the indicator must be changed to a monitoring capability which we put in place to say when people are exiting the department, why are they exiting, what are the reasons, proper exit interviews. But currently we can report, as in the annual report, that the attrition rate across the scarce skill masteries, the only real big challenges in the engineering environment are really within norms and standards which you find in the general labor market. Chair, on the issue of grievances, that's on slide 31. I wanted to indicate to the Honourable Chair that that indicator does not speak to individual grievances. It speaks to collective grievances. Collective grievances being when a group of people put in a grievance, normally coming from military trade unions or not military trade unions, from trade unions in the civilian environment. And there are very few. It's about a handful of them, and sometimes of a complex nature. It's depends on the complexity, and that's why the percentage is not 80%, but indicated below that one. But that's not individual grievances. There's a total different indicator for individual grievances. And then lastly, Chair, the Service Commission. Yes, the Minister appointed the Service Commission, and we can gladly submit the names of those members. I don't have all the names at hand here, including the new chairperson's name. We can submit that in writing to the committee. They are available. I think they cover all the actions.
Chair, we never deal with the issues related to our state of ratings.
Chairperson, thank you. I would want to talk on the question of the benchmark on flying hours. There is some degree of benchmark that is done. However, when we set our flying hours, we do not set them based on those benchmark standards. We set our flying hours based on a number of things such as resources available. But most important of all, we do not want to compromise flight safety of our system. And these are the drivers. Maybe I should link my explanation to the question that was asked by the honorable member to say that what does this do in terms of the pilot themselves and the operations. In as far as the pilots are concerned, they are part of the entire flight safety plan, and therefore that cannot be compromised. Would always make sure that within the hours available, that is done. We don't want to compromise that, otherwise we are compromising the security of the state. Thank you, Chair.
Answer questions pertaining to finance.
Hello, Chair and members. If we can discuss this.
My time is up. You have 5 minutes left.
Okay. So on slide Air Force. To make it very brief, one should not only focus on the actual amount paid, but also on the amounts that were committed by Ministry of Financial Authorities and orders placed. Just to give you some idea, at this time, 82% of the budget of the Air Force is committed by Ministry of Financial Authorities. So the time from the financial authority to payment can take 1, 2, or 3 years, depending on the contract arrangements. So the statement that the Air Force is either underfunded or overfunded based on the actual payments is not a good measurement, but rather the progress made and specific milestones in the repair, maintenance, upgrading of specific aircraft. So in terms of the defense fiscal framework, that is just the primary aim of that is to ensure an equitable distribution of the defense budget within the various services and divisions or programs. However, although various work has been done, the finalization or the final approval of the defense review will only, when it's finally approved, will the fiscal framework be completed. Then we have the question on the savings regarding the cancellation of Operation Lumazela. The department requested 402 million rand additional for the current force intervention brigade. We only received for the current financial year an additional 150 million, leaving us with a shortage of 250 million. So all savings resulting from CAR will be redirected to the force intervention brigade to make sure that that is properly funded, as well as to replace some of the ammunition that was expended during the operation. But then another challenge facing us is we do not know what our allocation for the 14-15 MTF period will be regarding regional security or the peace support operations. So then the last from my side in terms of the adverse audit finding, it is focused on asset management. And yes, we have for the rest of this financial year, which is almost history, we need to make sure that our assets are properly identified, barcoded, and recorded in the asset registers. There is a serious initiative on the go at this point in time where we do the barcoding and identifying barcoding and making sure that our registers of assets, both tangible and intangible assets, are properly identified and recorded in our register. We are confident that we should be successful in this endeavor and that by the end of the financial year we should have a genuine unqualified audit opinion for the department's financial statements and not a qualified, unqualified audit opinion. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Chairperson. I think we've tried to answer all the questions. There are some that are outstanding. It might be what is commercial aircraft tender. We don't have final details of that, and we want to answer that through writing. So does the question on the work capability, the question that is so asked about the numbers and what is that. So we request, Chairperson, that we, given the time to send the related matters, that you answer that in writing.
Thank you very much. Our time is up on this one. Without that, we started 5 minutes late, so I added the deficit in this one. Can we now go? Thank you very much. Can we now go to the military veterans presentation?
Before you pass this item, considering that the budget for DOD is almost every year cut down, reduced, which is very unfortunate, because we want doesn't understand the importance of a strong army in the country. The rest they don't understand. And that is why our funds are always being reduced almost every year. But I think, considering that your funds, our funds have been reduced every year, I think you are doing relatively very good for me. You are doing very well. I always felt that I'm safe here in South Africa because of your presence, because of your sacrifices. To be a soldier means you are sacrificing yourself. You are prepared to die any time in defense of your country. Nevertheless, I think many others, I always have a problem in pronouncing his name. I always say Menier or another one will say it. I think it's worth a point which you must consider. If you say something here in the paper, your presentation, and then when you ask a question, you say you can't answer that. I don't think it's fair. But be able to answer for everything that you have enumerated in your report here. That's all I wanted to say for me, Chairman. But otherwise, I think you have done very well for me. Thank you.
Thank you very much. You being applauded as the department. I think that is the reason enough for you to keep it up. When we hear from the next quarterly reports, we expect the same excellence as we got today. Thank you very much. Can we go over to military veteran? Over to you, DG.
General, sometimes it's difficult to attack you when you have the protection of the veteran. Requirements, they are basically those
mentioned earlier which require that we support in terms of the PFMA, in terms of the permit managing performance management, permit for strategic plans, several guidelines on preparation of quarterly report, evaluation policy and framework, and also our own DMV framework and the now, in terms of the content of our quarterly report, before I go into that detail of the content of the quarterly report, I wish to indicate that we tabled our annual performance plan, which presents a target that are linked to the allocation that we thought we had. And of course, the allocation was provided with conditions to be complied with, which included critically the conversion of military veterans benefits regulation before the funds are expended or spent. We have twice presented the draft military veterans benefits regulation to National Australia and also the Office of the State Chief Law Advisor for their verification. And the issues that were raised were dealt with during consultations that we had with them. Those officers, treasury, technical advisor, and so on. There was certification of the regulation, and we thought that we were on board and that funds would be released, but they were not released. And subsequent thereto, the minister then engaged with the Ambassador Minister of Defense and Minister of Defense engaged with the Minister of Finance. Ensure that the requirements that flow from Chapter 3 of the Public Service Regulation are met, basically that the funds must be released. We have not yet received, at least to my knowledge, any response from the National Treasury or the Minister in that regard to the Minister's engagement in writing. Now, this has affected our performance against plan, and we indicate that against the main service delivery areas, where poor performance has been registered with regard to indicators that will lead to benefits as articulated in Section 5 of the Ministry of Veterans Act. Now, I'm speaking to this, you do not see it in the slide there, but I'm speaking to it and remember to take note of that. Now, that poses a risk to the delivery of benefits, because the disparity that characterizes the provision of benefits to military veterans presents a challenge because of the differentiated approach by the different departments in terms of the application of the new set in respect to each of the benefits that have been indicated in Section 5 of our military veterans set. And also critically, because we are a department that depends on other departments for delivery of services, in large measure, if one looks at all of the 11 benefits that are listed in the Act, we are therefore ending up in a situation where our hands are literally tied, because we first have to deal with the hurdle of the legislation of the other departments where they have to deliver, whether it's a matter of housing, whether it's a matter of public transport, whether it's a matter of pensions, and so on. So that presents a challenge on the prioritization of military veterans benefits. Ideally, at this time, we should have already been delivering on all of the 11 benefits to military veterans. Why not? We're only delivering in a very modest way on only four of the benefits to military veterans. One being access to healthcare to military veterans through the use of the South African Military Health Services of the National Defense Force, as well as a partnership that we've created and entered into with the non-government organization, the Military Veterans Health Professionals, Health Practitioners Association. And through that, we've been able to deliver health services to military veterans. In fact, as we speak, we should be in
Mpumalanga today, this week, on delivery of health services to the senator in that province, having done KZN and Limpopo, and we'll be rolling out to the rest of the other provinces next week, 6 days, the other week, the Western Cape and so on, Eastern Cape and then the Northern Cape. But the intervention that we seek to make before going into the detail of our presentation, intervention that we see Parliament to make is for Parliament to engage with the relevant committees which have the line function responsibility for delivery of services to the general citizens of South Africa. But in this particular regard, to unblock the blockages that exist in respect to the delivery of services to military veterans, and also for them to concur with the Military Veterans Benefits Regulation so that we can go on to gazette that. Any further delays in gazetting the Military Veterans Benefits will actually result in underspending. As we speak, we are already 7 months into the financial year and have not spent as we should have spent in accordance with the target that we set. So the early warning that we want to make is that even as we go into the outlook of our performance report, is that the delay in the gazetting of the regulations and clearance for spending relating to service delivery benefits has necessitated that we will unfortunately have to revise the target, even if they are cut in stone after we table that in our annual performance plan. Our outlook on performance support is in four parts: general information, performance against plan, and also progress on risk mitigation and also anyone. And of course, the mandate of the department is known to all, and we derive that from our Minister of Veterans Act. Our vision, mission, and mission statement is that of a dignified and unified, empowered, and self-sufficient military veterans community as a mission to facilitate, deliver, and coordinate all activities that recognize and establish the restoration of dignity and appreciation of the contribution military veterans have made to our freedom and mission building. Our values, just to quickly run through them, the standards, teamwork, discipline, excellence, ethics, openness and transparency, consultation, which has been efficient and effective partnerships and collaboration, encouragement of innovation, research and daily format. The structure as we have has not changed. Just looking at it globally, three quarters of that structure at the macro level is populated, with the exception of when you look right from the top, Deputy Director General, Minister of Veterans Empowerment and Stakeholder Relations, we no longer have one body there, with the incumbent having left the service of the GMB at the end of October. And then when you go down to the Chief Directorate, only the Directorate Heritage, Memorials and Burials and Honours, still vacant. We've gone through two processes now of iterations of interviews for that. With respect to, as you go further down, we are in the process of populating the Chief Directorate, Ministry of Veterans Socioeconomic Support Management, and also the Directorate of Human Resource Management. Be that as it may, there is personnel within those particular structures other than the head. I just counted the head at the top of it. Now, looking at how we contribute to the National Development Plan or the MTSF outcomes as well as the priorities of the minister, in terms of outcome 1, 2, 4, and 5, as well as 12, on strategic priority 7, on building a cohesive and caring and sustainable communities, in relation to the National Development Plan, chapter 10 of that, on promoting health, also on improving education, training and innovation, and also on economy and employment. Insofar as the executive authority priorities are concerned, It is to provide subject to availability of resources, comprehensive support services to military veterans, and where applicable, to their dependents, but not limited to 1. Acquiring of healthcare and wellness center, access to health support, honoring and memorialization, as well as military veterans education, training, and skills development, facilitation of employment, employment placement, and also facilitation of an advice on business opportunities. Now, in terms of progress, in the quarter we are reporting under as of 30th of June, with respect to healthcare, a total of 987 of the 4,677 military veterans as loaded on the system and verified have to date, at least up to the end of the first quarter, been issued with healthcare cards to ensure they are easy access in the facilities of the military health service. Secondly, still on the matter of healthcare property acquisition, continuation was on hold pending the release of the necessary funds. And then thirdly, on the issue of memorialization, we constituted a medals committee for the honoring and memorialization of members of the former APLA, and that committee has been running. We paused, however, following the unity building conference that was held by that military veterans formation. We've also had engagements with the relevant departments of education entities to address the methods of accreditation of the prior learning skills of military veterans. In addition, we've also approached other training institutes, in particular the SAMHSA South African Maritime Training Association, as well as which has already also made an undertaking to provide the skills development opportunities to military veterans and their dependents as well. Similarly, in addition, the Department of Labor, to ensure that training opportunities are linked with employment opportunities. Also, the establishment of cooperatives, that we've had engagements with the Department of Trade and Industries, and also are linking that with our provincial roadshows that we'll be undertaking as well. And we've done this as well in partnership with the Umbrella Association of Military Veterans, the South African National Military Veterans Association. Furthermore, with our sister Department of Defense, to explore empowerment and employment opportunities for military veterans in a number of possible opportunities and projects that the Department of Defense is running. And in that regard, we've exchanged draft MOUs with the Secretary for Defense, which we are awaiting finalization. But in the meantime, we're continuing engagement with the DOD, in particular in the area of logistics as well as acquisition as well. Furthermore, critical partnerships between the DOD and the defense industry. This arises from the injunction that the minister made 2 years ago to the defense industry as well as the NDC as well, that the defense industry needs to come to the party in terms of empowering military veterans. We are looking at that so that we can then have in place a provision of jobs as well as skill development and whatever business opportunities may be there within the processor of the defense industry. Furthermore, discussions and engagements with the Department of Energy, and then also to within that context, to identify whatever opportunities that are there within the energy space. We already extend the draft MOUs with the National Department of Energy, and during this quarter that was under consideration, and we will be finalizing that now during this particular quarter. And then also, similarly with the Department of Agriculture, Forestry and Fisheries, we've already signed an MOU with the Department of Agriculture, Forest and Fisheries, but the signing of that happened in the second quarter, not the one we're reporting on, But through that process of our engagement with them, the initial 64 notifiers were then subsequently taken on board, hired by the Department of Agriculture, Forestry and Fisheries. We've also been engaging with the parasitals in partnership with the Umbrella Association, that is the Samba, and in particular the parasitals, the Nell, Escom, as well as Transmit. Now, on outcome 12, regarding an efficient, effective, and development-oriented public service, and empowerment and a fair, inclusive public service, the link to the MTSF priorities on building a developmental state, including improvement of the public service, with respect to the NDP on building a capable and developmental state, and what we have done during the period under review, we have finalized legal instruments that inform the infrastructure development that underpins delivery to municipal veterans with CITA, the State Information Technology Agency, and also with the Department of Public Works, which is the custodian of state endowment and property. This has given us the latitude to have the initial implementation of some of the transversal systems that marked a migration of our dependency on the DOD. So with effect from the 1st of April, we are running on our own systems, logis for logistics support, for human resources on the FESA system, and then also the basic accounting system, the BAS, with respect to accounting. We are also, now with respect to outcome 7, 8, and 12, which is building a cohesive, caring, and sustainable communities, read with the NDP on transforming human settlements and the national space economy, as well as an integrated and inclusive rural economy, and transforming society and uniting the country, as the executive priorities are listed as the subsidization or provisioning of public transport, housing, bearer support, and pension. Those are what is contained in the Act. In terms of what we've done or progress as the CMD, we are, as we speak, providing bearer support to military veterans. That has not extended to dependents of military veterans, but it is to the main member of the military veterans. We are, in addition, looking at establishing some kind of a burial fund, but those are engagements that we will take with the National Treasury as well to look at that, and then submit that to the Ministry for approval. During the first quarter, we provided 17 burial support to 17 military veterans across the length and breadth of the country and across all the military veterans conditions. We also initiated, in fact, continued with discussions and consultations with the Military Pensions Office, as well as National Treasury, to look at the issue of introducing a military veteran pension and also consolidating other pensions where those military veterans may be receiving that. On the matter of housing, very modestly, we were only able to deliver two houses in Kaifan in the northwest for two World War II military veterans who were in a situation of destitution and whose houses were rubbish. And that we also did in partnership with the Northwest Provincial Government, as well as our own contribution from non-public funds. On outcome 12, with respect to the building cohesive, caring, and sustainable communities, in the NDP, transforming society and uniting the country, as well as promoting social cohesion, with respect to the priorities of the executive authority, promotion of military veterans' heritage and memorialization and honor. In that regard, interventions have been made to recognize and appreciate the contribution of unsung heroes and heroines of our democracy, including but not limited to establishing the tomb of the unknown soldier, restoration of graves of the Liberation War of the veterans inside and outside the Republic, establishment of the Heroes and Heroines Acre, and also setting up an Amstrad Memorial and or Museum, and memorializing the founding of the veterans of the armed liberation struggle, as well as providing or developing programs that profile the heritage vested within the veterans. In terms of what we have done and progress to report, in consultation with Public Works, the City of Tshwane, as well as the Department of Arts and Culture, we finalized the process of the tender specification for design and erection of the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier. Furthermore, we are targeting during that quarter the erection of headstones as a stage in this financial year. The design has been proposed for final approval by the Council of Defense, but it's the structure that is headed by the Minister for final decision making, Minister, Deputy Minister, Chief of the Defense Force, Secretary for Defense, sitting in that COD as well as the Ministry of Veterans. Preliminary engagements have also been initiated with the Public Works Department regarding establishing the Heroes Acre, and also structured collaboration between DMV as well as the Department of Justice and Constitutional Development regarding the exhumation and the burial of missing persons. And in that regard, we have provided support to that process of the Department of Justice as part of implementation of the TRC records and recommendations. On outcome 12, regarding building a developmental state, including improving the public service, similarly, in the NDP, on the building a capable and developmental state, and then regarding the governance issues, read in line with the ministerial or executive authority priorities, the Military Veterans Act establishes the governance structures and institutions that provide advice to the executive authority on delivery of services to military veterans. In that regard, particular institutions that are enumerated in the Act, although we've said some, but it is the Umbrella Association of Military Veterans, it is the Military Veterans Advisory Board, it is the Military Veterans Appeals Board, as well as the Audit Committee. The Audit Committee, even though not mentioned in the Military Veterans Act, finds its place in the PFMA as institutions that need to be put in place for each and every department as part of government and so on. Now, in regard to all of this, we have submitted the draft Military Veterans Benefits Regulations and presented those to National Treasury, as I said in my opening remarks. We had also submitted a request for an interim appeals board, as well as the preparations being underway to establish the independent audit committee, for which we then put out adverts and that sort of shortlisting interviews should take place during this quarter. And then also, with respect to Section 7 of the Military Veterans Act, we have engaged during that first quarter in extensive consultations with all military veterans formations and established in the last month of the first quarter a steering committee towards the launching of the National Umbrella Association in line with Section 7 of the Act. Still on the outcome 12 regarding building economic and social infrastructure, as well as strategic priority number 10 on building a developmental state. Regarding the priorities, we have put in place programs to enhance military veterans' participation in the nation's economic mainstream. To this end, we've already started negotiations for inclusion of military veterans in the government's socio-economic development programs, including Department of Rural and Land Affairs, as well as infrastructure development programs. In addition, looking at what opportunities can be provided for the utilization of military veterans to deepen social cohesion and nation building as well. in terms of progress against all of those priorities, as well as the strategic framework, outcome 12, we are now part of some of those structures across government, the Land and Allocation and Recapitalization Committee, which is under the Department of Rural Development, as well as looking at facilitating, and we've already done that, employment of Minister of Veterans within that Council of Stakeholders in Rural Development side, and then also empowering Minister of Veterans to provide a mechanism within the food security space, food and nutrition security space. And then we, on the issue, we also provided a total of 212 Minister of Veterans in the database by the file. And that leads to the matter of the priority on maintaining the credibility and security of the National Minister of Veterans database. Now, in terms of the overview with respect to achievement by the department, we presented and tabled the annual performance plan for 2015 to the portfolio committee to help, and then also we continue to submit our monthly in-year report, in-year monitoring report to National Treasury. Similarly, as well, accounting officer's report, which for the 2012-13 financial year was submitted and tabled that to the audit committee, to National Treasury, as well as the Auditor General, and to the portfolio committee. We did that during the last this current quarter. And then also had our strategic planning work sessions during the period under review. And furthermore, developed the framework for the Department of Veterans on program and project performance monitoring and evaluation, as well as guidelines for submission of a performance report. And then also ensured that we have now our own domain name, as well as the official email addresses as the TMG. And then developed a number of policies, among which we look at the entertainment policy, the telephone policy, and then also participating in the 2014 MTF guidelines. And that we did with National Treasury, in engagement with National Treasury. And then MOUs between ourselves and the Department of Rural Development and Land Reform that we concluded during this particular quarter. And then furthermore, worked on the regulations of the TMZ. And then, in addition, the development of an SLA service level agreement with the Department of Public Works, that was in aid of acquiring procurement or procuring offices, new office accommodation for the TMB. That was concluded, and we will actually see us move into new offices during this quarter, before the end of this quarter. Developed the communication strategies, and then also a policy on communication. Furthermore, during this period under review, just before concluding this brief overview, before getting into performance against that target, during this quarter that we're reporting against, 21 posts were filled within the department, which includes personnel to assist with planning, monitoring and evaluation, financial management, supply chain management, internal audit, and risk management. We also took on strength 15 interns to assist in all the areas in the department, be it in human resources or the recruitment, as well as in auditing, as well as in supply chain management, so on. Also to assist us to reduce the backlog on the filling of vacant posts. Our plan had been to recruit 19 interns, just four short, as part of that government youth development agenda. And all of them have got the degrees, tertiary institution qualifications. We also similarly advertised 5 posts during the first quarter. This was in pursuit of achieving our goal or target of filling 135 posts by the end of the 2015 financial year. So, in terms of percentage, that accounts for 79.9% of the food sector of the department. We continue to participate in the JCPS as well as the social economic cluster. And we signed, as indicated earlier, the lease agreement with the GPW and that property group that is for our movement into our offices. And in this period, 987 of the 4677 municipal have been issued health cards. And under housing, those two houses, and the MOU with the Ministry of Services, which is awaiting ministerial approval. Notwithstanding, we are continuing to engage with the Ministry of Services and the Defense Force for the delivery of healthcare to Ministry of Services. And then also, we staying focused on the ensuring that we have a clean, reliable, and secure Ministry of Services database. And in that regard, during the first quarter, we conducted a verification process to ensure that we have the Elizabeth on board within our database. And in consultation with the public works regarding the erection of the tomb of the unknown soldier, that happened in the first quarter. In terms of training and skills development, 955 Elizabeth were given access to that. Primarily through the Department of Environmental Affairs, as well as the private sector company. That SSG is a private sector company that has provided and trained 100 municipalities for jobs in the security sector. We are now part of those committees, national committees, as indicated, and also we'll be finalizing during this quarter a national stakeholder management strategy. Which we will then have approved soon. Now, Chair, Honorable Members, regarding the performance against set targets, on the performance indicator, total number of municipal residents with access to dedicated counseling and medical support, our target in the APP for 2013 was 1,000, and broken down meant that we needed to have in the first quarter concluded 250. During that first quarter, we concluded an MOU with the service provider, the Ministry of Veterans Health Practitioners Association. The media variance is 250. So we have not moved as fast as we had hoped to during that first quarter. But actions that we took was to ensure that the MOU is then signed and so that this benefit is then provided. The funds for benefits has not yet been released due to the regulations that are not approved. And then, of course, the evidence on this is the MOU that we've signed as well as the regulations that we've submitted. On the total number of deserving military veterans with access to healthcare support per year, our target in the APP was 10,000. And the first quarter broken down to 2,800. What we have achieved in the first quarter was 987 of the 4,677 military veterans who are already loaded in the SEMS database. Those have been issued with health cards, so the major variance is 1,813. Similarly here, the provision of health benefits or further provision of health benefits also depends on the release of funds by national treasurer. But the evidence we have to show is the SEM support on military veterans that have been registered, also our own database on the healthcare of those military veterans who are accessing. On the total number of military veterans deserving decent housing per year, we had a target of 1,500 and broken down into the quarter, 300. We have not made moves on that, with the exception of the two houses that we can count for the military veteran, World War II military veteran. Still on this matter, we're stymied by the regulations, still being consulted, as well as the engagement that we are having with the National Department of Human Settlement. In terms of evidence for the modest tool that we have, the on the deserving military veterans to access relevant training and skills development per year. Our target was 2,000, and the first quarter was meant to have achieved 500. The actual output validated 955, and the variation, major variance, is plus 455.
Your time is running out.
Okay.
To wrap up.
Let me skip some of those and just go into only the red area, and then members could then ask maybe some of the areas I may not have touched on. On the red area, if you go to slide 22. Oh, okay, go back to one. Yeah, on the number of events, honorable members present, we targeted 3, and first quarter we're going to have 1. This has been rescheduled by the ministerial directive. The next one, on the way, the promulgated ICT strategy. That strategy has been piloted, but we have not yet developed it due to lack of capacity within the ICT environment. And we're in the process now of filling the critical holes in that ICT environment. And then also on human resource skills plan, we have not yet finalized developing that is in that first quarter. But we are ensuring that post that first quarter, the critical posts within human resources are fit to ensure that the mandate on human resources can be fully realized. The next wave, on the quarterly performance reports approved and tabled, we have not yet finalized, but the fourth quarterly report has not yet been signed to conduct the reporting period. Furthermore, on the access to counseling and treatment of PTSD, during that period we were in negotiations and then eventually signed with the service providers on the access to counseling and treatment of PTSD. And then again, the issue of funds, provision of funds for the benefit, not being released due to the issue of regulations not being approved. And then on the anticipated military veterans pension, this is also held up by the lack of finalizing the regulations. However, we are in the process of the discussion with the National Treasury, the Government Pensions and Administration Agency, the GPF, as well as the external service providers on finalizing the framework for developing or promulgating a military veteran pension. And then on the decent housing, we've already spoken to that, and it will appear as well, because funds have not been released. And furthermore, on establishing a fully functional SPV, special purpose vehicle, the target was to have that functional and during this 2013 financial year and by the first quarter. Overall progress is still great. We are engaging the National Treasury, however, to ensure that once we put that in place, it's fully within the regulatory framework so that it's on the next one, on the strategic initiatives established at national, continental, and international levels, we had targeted that we would have those at least 10, and the quarter target was 2. During that period, we were not able to have those strategic initiatives. However, at the beginning of the second quarter, we were then able to start with the World Veterans Federation, as well as the SADC military attachés or defense advisors with respect to looking at that coordination of military veterans, ministries, departments, or entities within SADC. Number of events honoring, we've indicated that was rescheduled. We have scheduled for the first quarter, but it has been deferred to later in the financial year on the directive. And then on the agreement with institutions of higher learning, we have not achieved on that, but we have now had engagements with the relevant departments of education entities, both at the basic education as well as the higher education as well, to address accreditation issues, as well as looking at other training institutes between ourselves, as well as with the umbrella association. On our establishment salary level, that is where we stood at the end of the first quarter. A number of posts filled, 52. Total number on the structure, 169. Funded posts, 135, and that is in the estimate of national expenditure. And the target that we're going to or hope to reach by the end of last year. On transformation and equity, the figures are as indicated there, total number of employees broken down by race and gender, and then also the differentiation between permanent employees as well as contract or temporary employees. Just to try and conclude, the performance on financial information, approved cash flow, that is what is indicated there, 15 million, and then actual expenditure as of 30th of June, 5.4 million. The low spending, and that is the reason for the deviation, was due to the fact that the salaries for the month of April were paid from the DOD budget. Now the month of April, that's the month we actually transited from the DOD systems, including human resource systems, as well as financial management systems, to our own system. So that is the matter that we will sort out during this quarter. We will refund that back to the DOD for that transaction of payment of salaries for April 2015. On goods and services, 19 million. Also, here, the reason for the deviation is because of the refurbishment for the new building and not commenced during that time. In fact, it was only during that time that we signed the lease agreement with Public Works, facilitating that process. Furthermore, the billing from CETA had not happened for the systems that we are using now independently, the personal information systems, the basic accounting systems, as well as the basic accounting system. So they have not yet submitted the hosting fees so that we could then pay against that to this particular quote. And then on the capital assets, that is the 1 million, also that links to the issue of the occupation of the building. If you go to the next slide. In conclusion, Chair, on obstacles, or challenges impacting on performance of the department. During the quarter, we are reporting again lack of office space. We've spoken at length about that. Inadequate technical competencies, non-approval of the regulations. In fact, we should have put that right at the top because it is what is signing our delivery of services to Minister Western. Then also, similarly, rendering of the Ministry of Western Socioeconomic Support Services, and then ensuring that we have that empowerment and stakeholder management, and then furthermore, a corporate services function to render strategic support services, and ensuring an adequate skilled human resource capability. And then internal audit and risk management services, although that is operational, during the period under review, we did report some progress on that, in that four employees within the internal audit environment were taken on stress. On the completeness and integrity of information on the database, during that period commenced with the issue of the verification of Ministry of Veterans to ensure that they are taken onto the database. That is, those who are then bona fide Ministry of Veterans. And on the issue of dependence on service delivery agencies. There, as indicated at the beginning, we continue to have challenges because of that dependence on service delivery agencies or departments to deliver services to the residents. Ideally, we would want to align that responsibility into the department of administration. Infrastructure and operationalization of the plan, again, it speaks to the matter of office space, and then monitoring and evaluation capability. During that first quarter, we did not have that capability, even with the two posts that we have. But at the end of the quarter, at least there was an assumption of duty by the officials in the department. In conclusion, Chair, we hope that this report that we provided to the House will assist your oversight function and also for the honorable members to point to areas of improvement. We have indicated what our challenges are and also where we have been able to register successes, notwithstanding the challenges that we have. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, TJ. Honorable members, if there are any comments, questions, Honorable Diale.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson. Thank you, Honorable Chairperson. I would like to say that I welcome the report with unhappy in the sense that the resources for our military veterans are delayed. I'm only happy the fact that the DG says there is an engagement with Treasury. But I would also like to know what is actual target for response from the Treasury. I'm asking this question, Kumchek. We have been 20 years in government. We talk of the people who fought, who slept in trenches, in the bush, in prisons, and all that. And they are dying one by one. We are burying time and again. And we are sitting here, we are having our cold drinks and bread, and DG also having his own tea. But our people outside. When looking at them, you don't know where to run to. Those who fought for this democracy were sitting talking high English and all that, meetings every time and again, talking about the military veterans. It's a theory that has no practice. I think from the DG, if there is no response, think we'll have to take practical steps ourselves to engage those responsible, those who are sitting on resources or with the resources. There's no way. You know, sitting here, I'm just quiet listening, all this, sitting, chatting, you know, I'm thinking of the political situation outside. I'm thinking of our people outside who fought. You know, we could not have been here now. Now, we're here because of them. Treasury in Syria, we don't know whether that treasury has any experience with the people who fought for this country. So, what, getting to the 20 years next year, we don't know whether we will come all of us back, meaning we're bearing each other time and again. I'm very much unhappy. I'm a military veteran myself, although I'm here in Parliament to represent our force, military veterans outside Parliament. The structure has been set. We've been tried. Policy, regulations have been set. What is the problem with Treasury? Is there no money or what? The question. 20 years. People who went to fight, we're still very young, they're old, and they're dying. We're still here. Thank you very much. I don't know what to say. Chairperson, I don't know what to say.
Thank you.
I'm telling you, I don't know what to say.
Yeah,
thank you.
This is an emotional issue. I'm not surprised.
Well, Chairperson, I equally do not know what to say. I realize that the department is putting the blame squarely on Treasury. And I'm sure the department will recall, in one of our first meetings, first interactions with them, that I asked, how many in the top brass are former military veterans, are former MK cadres, APLA, you name them? How many? And reason for that was in the knowledge that unless you are in the shoes of these suffering comrades, you can easily hold back and lay back on your laurels and do things at the pace in which you think it's fine. It's a very emotional issue. I was tempted to stand up and leave as the DG was presenting, but I thought it was inappropriate to do so because I wanted to at least register my displeasure and whoever is at fault. Until you have a friend committing
those who are responsible.
in order to assist the department, how do we take that proposal forward? I think that is what we should be talking about, Honorable Zah.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. I think there are certain things which, of course, from a treasury perspective, needs to be in place. It's a combination of factors which must allow the benefits to be able to be rolled out. Now, clearly from this report, every single page has questions. Every single page. And the issue is that we have defined now the benefits in terms of the Act. We need now that the department does not have the mandate and has not been migrated. It's shared by other 9 departments. And therefore, the MOUs and SLAs must be signed off in order that they can give effect to also giving benefits. Secondly, the advisory council that advise on military affairs, the appeal board for people that have a problem that may not get benefits, that they can lodge an appeal against that. Are these things all functional? The database we see is only 212 that has been verified from the last two, which was 8,000 and 20,000 reported, and afterwards that figure was reduced in the newspaper. When is the verification? When are people going to be audited to say that they qualify for the regulation? So there's a number of issues that is outstanding. It's the database, it's the SLA and MOU. Is the functionality of the Advisory Council and Appeal Board. The vacancies, I've got a serious problem to say that we don't have a budget to employ people, but we have contract workers, we've got seconded people, we've got deployed people, and they all paid against funded posts. There's 135 approved by DPSA that can be employed. We have not fill those critical positions with permanent posts and people sitting there from morning till night to execute all these things that's required for giving benefits to the military veterans. It is unacceptable that this process is so delayed, and particularly in this democracy. Other democracies in other countries have already rolled out in the first 5-10 years, they move on things. We've led and we're supposed to be more advanced. And I think this is unacceptable that we're going to 20 years and we can't provide for our military veterans. So I've got a serious concern about these type of competencies within the department. And also the issue is it has impacted on, I've received news now about South African National Military Veterans Association, that they've also, there's an interdict with the minister, that the process wasn't followed correctly and everybody wasn't consulted. There's unhappiness and the court have granted an interdict and set aside the conference, which has reconvened and relaunched, which the minister signed off on the 30th September. And the Military Veterans Association umbrella body is a key player in the consultation process in a number of these arrangements. What is the situation? Why are these things happening? Why can't proper procedures be followed and we do the job properly and get it done and get it behind us, Mr. Chair?
Thank you very much.
No, Chair, on that matter, the court did not grant the interdict. The aim of the interdict was to set aside the process and the decisions to establish the national umbrella. The court did not grant that interdict. However, it rules that the department must go back just to sort out the issue of the guidelines of the recognition of military veterans' commission and what the threshold should be and so on. But just to say that before even that process happened, there was extensive consultation with all the military veterans, including those that are not recognized, that are not yet recognized by the minister in terms of the act. And in fact, those formations were even invited to attend the conference. And most of them, in fact, those that took the department and the minister to court and did not take that opportunity to attend the conference, that has costed the whole
effectively on the distribution of benefits?
No, just the distribution of benefits in the four areas that we outlined continue. It has continued before, during, and after the court interdict process to continue into the future. We would want to do even much more than that.
Thank you very much. Any other question, honorable members?
Just a question. Not aware of it. What happened? Who should be better at court?
The interdict was made by the three cemetery commission. One, the APLA, former APLA members who are calling themselves APLA MDA. That is contested because the other in APLA, they are the institutes registered and lawful APLA MDA. That's the first one. The second one is the ones calling themselves incontroversial Liberation War Veterans Union. That's the third one. The second one. The third one is the ones calling themselves the SADF Black Soldiers Forum. So those three entities are the ones that they proposed to the interdiction against the Minister of Defense as the first respondent, the DT as the Minister of Defense as the second respondent in the department. So that is
why are they not recognized?
The person, it's a process, the issue of recognition is a process where the association or the entity needs to submit firstly its constitution, secondly its leadership, thirdly its whole total membership. Like we have the 100 members or the 1,000 members. All of those we then need to verify on our database. So if they say they have X number of members, we need to check on our database that indeed these are related represented by this establishment. They have not fulfilled some of those requirements. So that is why they make those submissions and then we look at it and investigate and then make a recommendation from the minister to approve their recommendation.
But all the same, they were invited to the conference.
Regardless, yes, we were
okay.
Invited. They were
okay.
Invited to the conference. And we have the official documentation. Yes, we said they invited the entire body of the Africa, but they have full right to participate except to vote.
Thank you. Honorable Nam.
Chairperson, you don't want to know the amount, I don't know if other members, you don't want to know the amount of calls one receives from these Ministerial elections. Where they get my number, I do not know. And you get a sense that sometimes they will make allegations against A, allegations against B, and you get a sense that one reason that leads to this kind of allegations is lack of information. I have one other guy, he must have called you, I'm sure, because he knows all of you. He is a great star. Constantly, I've never seen him sober in the past 2 years or so. And whenever I meet him, I've got to explain his pension, his housing, and all of those things. Look, I'm not complaining that he's confronting me, he's doing the right thing. But I think if the department can come up with ways of communicating better. And then probably consider some kind of a call center wherein military veterans will call in, make an inquiry about whatever they want to know. I think it will probably go a long way in trying to address some of the misconceptions and perceptions about the department and government for that matter. Thank you.
I think Chairperson, most important thing is that this is the 11th month now this year, and this department has not received a cent from the Treasury. They can't operate. You can't operate without funds. You've got to have funds in order for the Department of Military Veterans to function. We have an appointment with the President from the other here and myself. The President said he's going to Kimberley, from there to DRC, and thereafter I will see us. And I told him this specifically on military veterans, but we will take other broader issues in addition to the military veterans issue. What I'm saying at the moment is that the department cannot. I don't know how I would get criticized by the department that they've not done this, they've not done that, this way and so. If they have no funds, what's wrong with the treasury? What is the treasury doing with our funds for this department? Those are the issues that we are going to take up. Some of them are going to take up. Why this department has not as yet received its allocation? It's established by law. An act was passed establishing this department. So why is it not been funded? I don't know what to say more. Okay, thank you.
Thank you for the initiative, Comrade Nangin and Diale. We hope you will also update us about the meeting of the President on this matter. It can go a long way in assisting unlocking this problem. Any other thing?
Yes, sir.
Yeah,
just a request in terms of the Military Veterans Act, 18 of 2011, clause 6A, B, and C. Clearly indicates that any benefits that are granted to a military veteran from any other line, department, agency, or private sector must be submitted to the Department of Military Veterans. And that maybe also give us an indication, not of the small number that we see, there are two houses, if both houses were issued in other provinces, and if we can have that information also included in our report.
About the need for communication and non-communication. why, even as we're doing the rollout on the health cards and health benefits, we try to also include within that session on what the department is doing and whatever offering is there.
Thank you. Thank you very much. If there are no more comments and questions, then we can adjourn our meeting. Thank you very much.